Welcome to Tracks Cultures. I'm Mike Piccinato, your host. This podcast unravels the intricacies of transitions across cultures. For those feeling the pull of change or supporting loved ones through it, this podcast is for you. We understand the uncertainty and excitement that come with such transitions, and together we'll explore how to adapt while maintaining community and belonging. Throughout our episodes, we'll draw on insights from the Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Whether you're moving to a new place or supporting someone who is, this podcast offers encouragement and connection. Enjoy the conversations as we navigate the challenges and joys of cross-cultural transitions together. Welcome to episode one of season two of Tracks Cultures. This season, you'll meet Joel and Kate Damon as they prepare to leave Omaha, Nebraska to pursue their calling with our organization in Berlin, Germany. In this episode, we'll start to get to know Joel and Kate and hear about their experiences and observations of cross-cultural transitions and how these insights are shaping their expectations and preparations for their own move. Join us as we begin this exciting journey into the Damon's upcoming adventure. Well, Joel and Kate, welcome to Tracks Cultures. I'm really excited to be able to start recording with you guys.
Yeah, this is exciting.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah, maybe it would be helpful if you guys started just by introducing yourselves, kind of talking about how you got on this crazy journey to come to Berlin.
Sure. I'm Joel Damon.
And I'm Kate Damon.
And we have been married for over 20 years now, and we largely are involved with the art community here in Omaha, Nebraska, and I don't know, we mentor a lot of young folks and have found a lot of missional work in our own lives here. And then we were invited, or I was personally invited, to go visit the Envision site in Berlin by our church, City Light Midtown, was taking a trip. And so got invited to go and met the fine folks at Envision Berlin, and then came back home and was rejuvenated with all these new ideas on how I could serve my city. And then I lost my job a month later. This is the best part, though. Nobody knew that I lost my job. And Mike, you texted me the next day and you're like, hey, I know you're really connected to Omaha and devoted to the city or something, you know, but we have a position opening up that you might be a really good fit for. And it's like, you picked a great day. You picked a really great day to ask me to leave, you know, the city I really love. So that's how it all got started. And then it largely became going to involve you.
Yeah, I had to also agree. When Joel was invited on this trip with our church, he said he felt like God was doing something. And I said, we're not moving to Germany. Just learn how to travel abroad. And I just wanted him to learn how to navigate the airport systems in other countries so we could go travel to Italy or something. And he came back and he didn't really come back. He was like, his heart was still there and trying to figure that out. And then, yeah, when you lost your job, I was like, oh no. And then Mike, when you texted, I was like, oh no.
This is double bad.
Oh no. So Joel and I did a vision trip that December, and I got to meet everyone there and travel around the city, and God started working on my heart then, and here we are now.
Alyssa likes to tell the story, Joel, when we're speaking in churches and we're saying, okay, we've got this new couple joining us in September. Alyssa likes to say, there have been very few people that have gotten off the airplane looking like they belong in Berlin. And it was you and one other guy on that trip with you.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, both of them.
Just look
like
they belong.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That guy, yeah.
Love it. Yeah, love it.
And so, Kate, that process for you had to be, well, I know it was a challenging one, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. That when we were in Berlin with everyone, we had an hour set aside for us to ask questions. And Joel had fell asleep that night, and I had all my questions written down, and my biggest fears were change. And I've only lived in Nebraska, and all of a sudden I'm supposed to move to Berlin where there's graffiti everywhere, and I'm a rule follower, and I'm not artistic in that way at all. And it was Alyssa that told me, stop praying, God, what do you want me to do? And instead, God, send me. And so it was the heart change that I had to have and see the people of Berlin the way that God sees them and not just artists. And like, yeah. It was just like wild. It's wilder.
You were looking for an obvious spot where you fit in.
Right.
And instead it was, you needed to be just seeing that you were needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It was great having you there in December. And I knew getting off the plane, I had the feeling when you were getting off the plane that it was like, I think Kate is coming to find good reasons to not come to Berlin.
Yes, that's very, very,
that's very fair.
I was waiting for God to say no. I was expecting God to say, this is why you're not moving here. Well, growing up in a small town, we'd have missionaries come. And there was always the call afterwards of saying, some of you may be called to do mission work. And maybe like this is the God's calling you, or maybe you're being called to be senders, to send well. And I would pray that God would not ever make me a missionary. And I said, just make me rich. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a missionary. They're so dorky with their puppet shows. Make me rich. But then I'm a college dropout and I married an artist, and God laughed at my plans of being rich. And it said, you're going to be a missionary instead. But so since like probably 95, I had prayed, don't make me a missionary. And so I think I purposely shied away from interacting because I knew something was up with God and mission work in me, but I never wanted it. And so I stayed away from it.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I never had that strong of like clear thoughts of like, oh, I got to stay away from this. But I also, as much as I try to not treat God like some sort of a good luck charm or whatever, I definitely stayed clear of thinking about missional life in that way or moving anywhere for, you know, uprooting anything in any way. It was always, oh, my mission's here.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And then we realize idolizing comfort. And
yeah,
that's a big one.
But then also at the same time, the very first time, you know, again, City Light asked me to go to Germany. And the very first time I said like, oh, maybe I'll think about something. And here we are. Now we're moving to Germany.
We're really excited that that you guys are on the way.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It is. I think now I'm at times I feel like I'm more ready and excited than Joel is, because he's been ready for a long time. And I'm in the phase of like, all right, think about like, look at all the things that we can do and like be a part of. So it's funny. It's God's funny.
As we kind of launch into this podcast documenting, so to say, your journey and kind of asking some questions in advance and getting you guys ready. And just long-term, we'll also be kind of following it once you're in Berlin as well and touching base and helping people see what your process is like. So maybe set the scene for us a little bit more. Have either of you ever transitioned across cultures before?
Not in anything. No, I would say no, to simply put it. I mean, like, we both grew up in really small towns, and we both moved to a city that is considerably larger. Things like that, right? Like, but nothing where it is, we felt really out of place, I don't think.
The only thing that I could think of, it would be short term. And I, the last few years, I've been trying to put myself in situations where I'm the minority, or I would stand out, just to put myself in somebody else's shoes so I know how to love people better. That is something I would never have done before, but I think that's another part of God preparing me. It was not always being in my comfort zone. And I learned so much at two different events that were not for me, but I learned how somebody else who's a minority may feel. And that was really good. And so not necessarily myself going overseas or somewhere. I went on a mission trip when I was 15, but it was vacation Bible school, and I wouldn't say there was much to that, but it was mostly just events here in Omaha that I've attended.
A general definition of culture can just be as simple as the way people do things together.
Yeah.
When you guys started attending City Light, or when you guys started attending church, did that feel at all like you were changing cultures a little bit from where you were before into a new church culture?
I would say not necessarily, just because the formula on Midwestern churches is very similar from mm-hmm. church to church. There might be a different style of preaching, but the formula is almost always the same. And so, again, I've always kept myself in comfortable situations. And so, yeah, that's been part of my journey of I always go where I'm comfortable. And so this was very much a God thing that this is even happening.
Yeah.
Because it's out of my comfort. Change. Yeah, it's so drastic. Yeah.
No, I don't even think there's been a cultural transition with churches, really. It has been really kind of...
We follow the Midwest white church culture.
Yeah, not like on purpose. As
it's
like
just comfortable.
Principle. Yeah,
no,
like
it's just comfortable. Yeah. That's what we're used to.
Have you seen other people transition across cultures before?
Yes.
My dear friend Michaela spent a summer in India to decide if she wanted to be a missionary there. And there was no help when she came back to figure out what she had just gone through. And she left the church because of it. Because she was so confused on what happened and what she was supposed to do and had no care afterwards.
Yeah, that was bad.
What else did you notice about her experience?
She was so much aware of other people after that experience, aware of differences in people. She was working mostly with women that were in the slave trade and human trafficking. And so her care and compassion for others, and especially women, and even animals that nobody, nobody wants, she only will adopt pit bulls because they're unwanted and considered dangerous. And she wants to show that there's good. And so her big thing is loving. Ever since she came back, she was always a kind person, but it's making sure that the unlovable or the odd one out is taken care of.
Yeah. And that her life, even though, she's left, the church, but she, her life reflects those same principles though still.
Yes.
Are there any things as you think of her or other people's cross-cultural or cultural transitions that you say, oh, that was really helpful for them to be able to have this going into the transition?
I think the preparation has been what I've noticed. There's a lot of difference, shocks in different ways that have happened or that we know are coming in one way or another. And just knowing that and being able to sort of get your feet steady, I found that very helpful.
Our friends, the Laneys, Robin and Dave Laney, are in Jamaica right now at Robin's Nest Orphanage. They went and had to come back due to many circumstances. But when they came back, the care that they received they had a really strong base at home. Mm-hmm. And that is something that we're definitely trying to still, what's the word?
Build
and cultivate strong relationships here so that when we're gone, we still have a firm foundation of people praying for us and loving us, because Dave and Robin have just a fantastic network and they don't feel alone at all. And they don't feel like they're going through this alone.
Yeah. And that, like you said, that community came in and surrounded them when things got gnarly.
Yeah. So yeah, just the people. People is a big thing that we're building the foundation with.
Are there things that, as you look at other people's cross-cultural transitions, that you think, oh, their experience could have been more successful if they had had XYZ?
I'd say, again, a preparation ahead of time. Mm-hmm. What we've been experiencing with the CMA and the prep that they just provide is very different to the other global partners that our church has. They don't have as much guidance. It feels like it has a greater chance of failing because there's less of a safety net than we have been receiving just with support raising.
Yeah, just for that.
What about away from just the finances part, which is such a huge part? I think people sometimes miss how stressful that can be when you're getting ready to go, this idea of, oh man, I've got all these fundraising targets to hit. But what about some of the other preparation things? Because it's a total life change, right? I mean, it's like, holy cow, I just uprooted my life and changed the way I do things. Have you noticed the way other people were prepared to do that, that you'd said, oh, wow, that was really good? Or other things where you're like, oh, I think people could have been set up better for success.
Let me think about that for a second.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any examples.
You know what's funny is that we don't know a lot of missionaries. Closely. And that's another reason why I thought that this wasn't for me. It wasn't a fit for us. We have a lot of missionaries at our church, but I don't know them personally. And I didn't grow up around missionaries.
You had an uncle that was one, but he wasn't around.
He was around because he was in China. Yeah. So I didn't think about that. Yeah. I was my uncle was in China for many, many years. Actually, I should talk to him. That's a good point. You know what? I should call my Uncle Jim and say, like, so what would you say?
Shout out Uncle Jim.
Yeah, Jim Bell. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I didn't think it was a good fit. I didn't come from a missionary family.
You guys have got a copy of the cross-cultural transition handbook that Stephen Jones wrote.
It's such a good...
So he wrote a book called Transitions Across Cultures, and that was really kind of a book just saying, boy, I wish a lot of this stuff would have been available for me growing up as a military kid transitioning across cultures. And he was noticing as he was doing debriefs with workers that had done cultural transitions that a lot of them had been underprepared going into it. And so he kind of developed this book more in a handbook format, and it's really helpful.
Yeah.
So helpful.
So what we want to do is kind of walk through some of the pieces of that book, just working with you guys in prepping and documenting it for other people as they can dial in, and hopefully they'll be able to use it as a resource as well. Real life people examples are sometimes more helpful than just reading things in a book. So thank you for being real life people.
Try.
I'll do my best.
Thank you for joining us today on Tracks Cultures. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to dive deeper, we invite you to join our community on Discord. It's a space for sharing experiences, asking questions, and connecting with others who are navigating similar journeys. See the link in our show notes to become part of our growing community. Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to help us continue our work as a creative community looking for the meeting place of faith, art, and culture, consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to find out how you can contribute. Until next time, keep embracing change and embodying transformative hope for humanity.